as mentioned in the previous lessons, I've been talking about that we analyze the charts or interpret the charts or let the data reveal what's going on. It is a visual method, and there are a set of rules. I've mentioned these rules before, and I think I even asked the rhetorical question, do you know the 7 basic rules for interpreting control charts? Well, let's call that answer in here and talk about the different ways of analyzing a control chart. So it's one step to actually plot the data and to do the calculations of it. But then once you have those dashed lines on there, you have the control limits on there, we want to be able to detect, do we have an out of control circumstance? Do we have something unusual occurring that would allow us then, or signal to us, I should say, that we should collect some more information and find out what's going on? It's not the end of the world. Every process is going to have variation. And sometimes even a stable process will signal an out of control event. That's to be expected, but it should be very rare. Now, if we're seeing an out of control event, it usually indicates, vast majority of the time, it indicates that something's changed. The variance has changed, the mean has changed, or the process has basically shifted or changed its behavior underneath. And so we use control charts and this analysis step to sort out what's really going on with the process. Now, keep in mind that because we're taking a sample, say for an X-bar chart, for example, we're taking a group of samples, we're averaging those, and we're invoking the central limit theorem, that we should get those averages that we're plotting should tend to be, or would typically be, a normal distribution. And so plus or minus 3 standard deviations is based on the standard error of those averages. And what that implies is that the bulk of the data should be relatively close, plus or minus 1 standard deviation, 1 standard error term actually, of that grand average, the X double bar. And then plus or minus 3 standard deviations is less than 1% of our averages that we calculate from samples should fall outside of those dashed lines, the upper or lower control limits. So 99.73% should be within it. So it's actually less than 0.5% between the two limits. And work that a little closer. It's closer to 0.15% should fall outside of that. So it's on the order of 1 in 1,000 times we should really have a failure. So if you see something that falls outside of this pattern of where we expect the values to apply, it indicates that either the underlying distribution, the process itself, is shifted, the average is shifted, or the mean is shifted, and we should do something about that. So in a case where you really have an out of control process, the mean value will change as you move through the process. So if my X bar is here to start with, and then it shifts up to here, couple samples later, and then the variance term goes from being very tight to very broad, we want to be able to detect all of those things. And so something's definitely going on in this process. It's not very repeatable at all, and we typically call that it's not very stable, not stable at all. And we would get signals, and in this case, I've exaggerated the signals, as we get out of control points. And the typical process is to circle those and either label what was observed or what was noticed of why that point went out of control. And same here, is label that. And sometimes you just put an indicator on it and then put notes someplace else and just label that on the chart. But it's a spot where we should stop the process, or at best, or at very least, is to collect information about what's going on with the process. Preferably stop the process, because if my mean is shifted this much, over half my data is going to be out of this out of control circumstance. And depending on the process capability from the start, you may be producing scrap, but certainly something's changed. Now, in some cases, that change may be good, and you want to capture and keep doing whatever is good. Some cases, it's bad, and you want to change your process back to that you're getting good products out of the process. But it is possible to have both the mean values and the variance values changing as you go through the process, as it controls. So in general, work on getting the variance term under control first, then get the averages under control. Because it's very hard to interpret the X bar chart when the variance chart is signaling out of control circumstances. It makes it much more difficult, if not impossible, to detect shifts in the mean when your variance term is changing dramatically. Another scenario is that the variance term is doing fine, but your mean value is shifting and bouncing around. And so it would be signaled by just out of control signals that are just in the X bar chart. Those should be pretty straightforward. Likewise, if the variation is the only one varying, I'll see signals only in the R chart. This should make pretty much common sense. But if it's in control, the underlying distribution that I'm pulling the samples from preferably would be exactly the same from every sample I draw. But that's very, very unlikely. It is much more likely that there is going to be some process shifting. The folks at Motorola, after doing a bunch of study and have different control charts and the statistics behind these things, said that any process will shift 1.5 standard deviations in its normal course of doing its business, of doing whatever it does. And so we should expect some amount of natural variation within a process. Now, we don't collect enough data to actually create little normal plots for each data point we take. We're collecting a sample, say 5 points, for each of these, and we're plotting just their averages. So we're not getting all the information onto the chart, as is depicted here with these little normal curves laying there. But that's a representation of what's happening underneath what we're sampling from. And so the control chart gives us some visibility of what's going on. But seeing small patterns and trends and some variation is perfectly normal. And as long as our data is in control, then we're in good shape. Now, there's 7 rules altogether, and I'll talk about the first 5 here on this one chart. Now, the first one is really just that I have 1 point outside the control limit. That basically means it's a 0.15 or about that value percent chance of occurring. It's a very rare event. And it only takes 1 point to be that far out to signal that something's changed. And so that's one rule. The second rule is that I have 2 out of 3 points in this zone A, which is between the second and third standard deviation away from the center line. So if I get too many points out here close to zone A, that has the same probability as a single point going out of the control limit. And likewise, if I have 4 out of 5, if I draw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, 4 out of 5, and this is 2 out of 3, and this is just 1, in zone B, again, I'm unlikely to see that if I have a stable process. I should see a good amount of grouping in zone C. But if I end up with too many too far away, that's these first 3 rules, is 1, 3 standard deviation away, 2 out of 3, 2 standard deviations away or higher, and 4 out of 5 that are outside of the 1 standard deviation. It's the way I remember these. So that's one way to think of it. The other part is, do I have a run or a sequence that's very unusual? Right? So if I have, in this case, I've got one and it goes down, two, three, four, five, and I remember the rule is, I think it's six, and in some books they use seven, that are monotonic, either decreasing or increasing. And so if I've got a sequence that goes in one direction monotonically, and I believe it's with seven steps, that gives us the same probability as one outside the control limit. And so that's four rules. And I'm looking for where my notes are. I thought for sure I had my notes right here, and I'm not seeing it. So let me pause. All right, the fifth rule. So after one out of control, out outside the control limits, two or three in zone A, four or five in zone B, and the fourth rule being a sequence of, and I just looked it up, it's six or more points. So it'd be one, two, three, four, five, six. So this run here of 6 points going all in one direction. So I would need this extra point. One, two, three, four, five, six. 6 points all in one direction. It could be increasing or decreasing. That's my fourth rule. The fifth rule is if I have eight or more points on one side of the center line. So here I've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. So that is also an unusual event to have eight in a row greater than the mean value. So it's an indicator that's a very small chance that would occur if I had an unchanged distribution. And again, it's the same probability as if 1 point was outside the control limit. And so those are the five rules. One outside, two out of three, four out of five, six in a row, and eight on one side. Those are the five basic rules or common rules. And I think those were originally written about by Schuhart, who came up with the basic idea of the X bar R chart. And it's in a couple of references that go back quite a ways in time. Now there's a couple other rules. One of them is called stratification. And this one is where you have too many points just in zone C. So, and again, in this case, we're looking for 15 points in a row, basically, that are within the zone C. So from a normal distribution, we only expect about 68% of the units to be within this range. So while we are expecting most of them to be here, it can be too many, which indicates that the normal distribution is too bunched together, or the data is too bunched together to actually be a normal distribution anymore. So here I've got 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. I think I've got 15 points exactly. So at this point, I would circle all of these 15 and say I'm out of control. What's been going on here that is bunch the data together too close to the mean value? Now that may be a good thing. It might really signal that I've got a tighter, more consistent process, but how do we make it continue to occur? So let's understand what's happening and make that part of the normal process on a for ongoing basis. Another rule is based on, again, this probability of events occurring. And this one's based on the idea that I have that systematic variation. And again, it takes quite a few of these types of steps to signal that it's an out of control realm. And there's some debate in the literature of how many points need to be here. But let's say I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 points, that every point is an increase, and then the next point is a decrease. So what I'm looking at is the frequency of the data changing direction, going up and then down, and up and down, up and down, up and down. So some say 15. There's variation on the exact number of this from different literature, but the calculation is basically, what's the probability of this occurring if I'm taking a random sample from a normal distribution? And again, it's back to that 0.15% chance of it occurring, signaling something odd is occurring. Now, this signal, oftentimes this mixture or systematic signal, may indicate that you have a part of a process that's over-controlling the process. So it might be a thermocouple that's tripping a change in temperature a little bit too aggressively. And it might be a good thing, but more often than not, it's signaling that something's going wrong with your particular process. And so those are the seven basic ways to do it. Many of the software packages have these rules built right into them, like Minitab and others. But if you're doing this manually and you're doing it on the floor with people reading the data and plotting the data, which I do recommend, is that they need to be very clear on what the rules are and how to interpret the charts. And then, because if I see this pattern, and at this point, then I take a very close look at what's been going on with the process and collecting the information about it, then I can make a decision to make the change that will encapsulate what's going well with the process, or I could change the process or change something such that I avoid the out of control circumstances, make the process stable again. But if I collect this data for, say, a week, and I collect a couple hundred points and put it on a chart at the end of the week, and it's pulled out of a database and plotted, once I see this, I may have no visibility of what's been going on for the last hour or 2 hours within the factory, because I'm looking at it on Friday, and this may have occurred on Monday. And it'd be very unlikely that we'll be able to gather the appropriate information to make good decisions about controlling the process. Hence, it's really got to be live. It's really got to be on the process in order for it to be of the most use. So I've mentioned this a couple of times, and this is a pretty common question. Each of these signals has approximately the same probability. It's unlikely that you'd be asked to calculate what's the probability of that sixth rule, for example, but you should be able to. And it's not an unreasonable thing to think through and be able to explain the chance of this occurring to the people you're working with when you're implementing control charts. So next we'll talk about the next step. Once you get a control chart in place and the process is stable, then we often want to ask or find what's the capability of that process.